Happy Sabbath, everybody. Since I'm not singing, I can pull the mic up close to my mouth. Right now is the time leading up to the feast. God's people, we know the plan. We know what the feast, the fall holy days represent. We know what they mean to us. This time leading up to them represents the time that we're in right now, the time that's leading up to the return of Christ, the time that leads up to the millennium, God's kingdom. Our preparation time, the time where we're preparing ourselves to be in His kingdom, to be part of His family. So, in this time, there's many, many things that we need to do. We're going to talk about some of those things today. But as when you go to apply for a job here in the world, you have to do things a certain way. You have to live your life a certain way, and you have to prepare yourself a certain way. So the title of my message today is Dress for Success. Dress for Success. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, we're going to start in verse 10. Y'all might want to go ahead and put a marker in your Bible on Ephesians 6, because we're going to go back and forth a lot. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Brethren, Satan is real. The adversary is real. The devil is real. Right here, as we lead into the armor of God, it's talking about the reason why we need it. The reason why we need it is because Satan is real. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3 says, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve. Brethren, we cannot be deceived. We can be deceived. We need not allow ourselves to be deceived. We've got to be aware. We have got to be dressed for success. We have to do the things that the Bible tells us to do to prepare ourselves to fight against Satan, to ready ourselves for the battle in front of us. The battle is real. The struggle is real, and it is not going to be simple. It's not simple now, and it's not going to get any easier. Satan is real because the Bible says so. Let's turn back to Job, if you will. Job 1. Job 1, starting in verse 6. Job 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it." That's how Satan sees his day. He's just walking along and singing a song. I don't know what song he's singing, but he's walking along. To him, it's just normal as the day is long. It's just normal as you and I whistling at work. He's just walking around trying to consume you. The struggle is real. We have got to be prepared, because to him, it's just like a walk in the park. To trip you up, to deceive you, to make you fail. To take the most precious thing that we have, the gift that God has given us, the opportunity to be in His family, our calling to be His children, to snatch it away from you. Walking along, singing a song, trying to destroy you. It's that simple for Him. That verse right there is so simple, but to me, it's like an eye-opening thing. And it's literally almost simple for Him. Because it's what He does. It's His thing. Walking along, doing His thing to trip you up. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Satan is out to get God's people and trip them up and deceive them and make them fail. So, let's go back to Ephesians 6. Before we read Ephesians 6, verse 13, I want to... The rest of what we're going to read in Ephesians 6 today is talking about putting on the armor of God. Putting it on. Every single morning, I wake up 6 days a week. Not every single... I do it a little bit different. The Sabbath's totally different. But Sunday through Friday, I wake up in the morning. We do our breakfast routine, whatever. Make coffee, get my lunch ready, all that. And then I go back into my bedroom. I take off my pajamas and I put on a fresh pair of socks and underwear. And young people, remember, always put on clean underwear in case you get hit by a bus. You might go to the emergency room and you don't want to get caught with dirty drawers. So put on a fresh pair of underwear. But then I put on my jeans, a work shirt, and my belt. I walk over to my nightstand. On my nightstand, my watch is right on the front right corner with the band facing this way. In case I wake up in the middle of the night and I need to know the time, I grab it and it's always facing the right way so I can hit the button and look at the time and put it back. True story. I walk up, I get my watch, I put it on. My wallet's right above that. I get my wallet, I put it in my right back pocket. Right in front of that is a little set of keys. That's the most important keys that I'm using at this, whatever time period at work. The houses that I have to unlock the most. So there'll be 2, 3, 4 keys and they change. So put those in my coin pocket. Big set of keys. Put that in my big pocket on the right side. Pocket knife, right pocket. Left side. A set of Allen wrenches. Right into my left pocket. Because I need them all the time. Seems strange, but that's what I have. That's what I have. My iPhone's right there. Grab my iPhone. It's the last thing I put on. And I hook it on my belt. Get my hat. Hat's on. I'm ready for my day. It's what I do every day. All of us have our process that we go through to get ready. To get ready for our day. Before I leave the sanctuary of my bedroom. The safe place that is my bedroom. The place where I don't feel like anything can touch me in there. Because I'm just happy and safe. Before I leave there, I do these things so that I'm ready for my day. This right here is God telling us, His people, what we need to do to be ready for our day. So, let's continue and talk about getting ready for our days. Ephesians 6. Verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Girded your waist with truth. Girded means to prepare yourself, to get ready for battle, to prepare for battle. You gird yourself with truth. Truth, the truth is the truth of God's word. It is the truth. It is the very thing that the rest of the world doesn't even know what it is. Only the precious few that we belong to even know what the truth is. But it's the first thing that you put on. It's like putting on your clean underwear in case you get hit by a bus. Get the truth wrapped around you in case you get hit by a bus, y'all. The truth. Gird yourself with it. Wrap it around yourself. Protect yourself with the truths of God. Turn with me to John 16, please. John 16, verse 13. John 16, starting in verse 13. However, when it, the Spirit of truth, has come, it will guide you into all truth. For it will not speak on its own authority, but whatever it hears, it will speak, and it will tell you things to come. It will glorify me, for it will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that it will take of mine and declare it to you. The truth. The very Holy Spirit that gave us the truth, that God gave us the portion of to show us what it is, to open our minds, to remove the veil. The truth. The simplest, the first thing, that spectacular moment when the truth came into your mind, when the veil was lifted and your eyes could see the what was real. The truth, the basis of your calling. Wrap it around yourself. Don't forget it. Never leave home without it. John 14. Where am I at? Yeah, John 14. Verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I, Christ, am the way, the truth, and the life. Our protection, the truth. Our Savior and King, our protector, the truth. Wrap yourself in it. Make sure every day that you gird yourself with the truth. Make sure it's there. Gird your waist. Put on your belt. It's a funny thing about gird your waist. Let's turn really quick to Job 38. I don't know why it makes me chuckle, but anyway, let's turn to Job 38. Job 38 and verse 3. God answering back to Job out of a whirlwind. Verse 3 says, now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. Picture God for a minute coming up to you out of a whirlwind and saying, and if you, in the old King James, it said, gird your loins, son. It said literally to gird up your loins like a man, boy. Hitch up your britches. We're fixing to get down and I'm about to ask you some questions and you're going to answer me now. Gird yourself with the truth. Hitch up your britches with the truth. Wrap the truth around yourself as a protection. Continuing on, let's go back to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. The end of verse 14, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate, the armor, the front armor. Up here, the part that protects your heart, your guts, your organs, the arm, the breastplate. The desire that we should have to achieve godly righteousness, and our quest to do so should protect us. It protects our heart and the things that keep us alive. That's what protects us. Our desire to be righteous is a protection. The righteousness of God, not some man thought up righteousness, not this other stuff that they talk about out in all these other places. The righteousness the Bible talks about, godly righteousness, the stuff that you can only get through Him, that you can only get through the blood of Christ, the knowledge that we find in the book, prayer, fast, and medication. That's the only place it can come from. Godly righteousness. And that righteousness protects us, keeps us alive. 1 John 3. Starting in verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Therefore, God does not protect them the way he protects us. Seems pretty simple, but it's not. It's one of the toughest things that we can ever try to achieve is godly righteousness in this flesh. Extremely difficult. That's why we have to be striving to get it, to have it. 2 Timothy 2. And 2 Timothy 2, verse 22 says, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord of a pure heart. Pursue righteousness, a conscious, zealous pursuit of godly righteousness is what the Bible teaches us. As we put on the armor of God, part of that putting it on is our zealous pursuit, our choice, the choice that we've made to go after it. And God wants us to have it. He wants to give it to us. But if we're not getting it for free, we got to go get it. We have to pursue it. Back to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, 15, continuing on. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace, true peace. The peace that you can only find through Christ. You can't even have any real peace without the first two things we talked about. Without having the truth, without searching for righteousness, you can't even have peace. There's no way to get it. If you think for one second that we were going to possibly die tomorrow and go to hell forever and burn, how can you have peace? If you know that Uncle Joe Bob has been drinking half a gallon of whiskey all his life, cusses like a sailor, and kicks dogs for a living, how can you have peace knowing that he's going to go to hell and burn forever and ever in hell? That's the truth can give you peace. Without it, you can't achieve peace. We're talking about true peace. That's why it says, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Where does peace come from? Peace comes from knowing the plan. Peace comes from knowing the gospel and what it actually means. Let's turn to Romans 5, because I don't remember why I wrote it down. Let's go read it. Romans 5, starting in verse 1. Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Without knowing the plan, without knowing why Christ came here and died for us, and knowing how this all fits together, there's no true peace. It's impossible. I guess some people in the world might say, well, that's their fault if they don't accept Christ and they're going to hell. That's their fault. I guess they can somehow they can achieve some kind of peace for themselves, but I can't see how. The only way that I know that I can have peace is because I understand through God's Spirit. I understand the plan. I understand the gospel. I understand what the kingdom is. I understand how this whole thing is going to work because God made it clear to me. So therefore, I can have peace. Let's go back to Ephesians 6 now. Reading on. Ephesians 6 and verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Above all, taking the shield of faith. If we do not have faith, we will never be able to stand up against the adversary. It's not possible. We can't do it alone. If we don't know that we can't do it alone, then we're already messed up. We can't do it on our own power. It's not possible. We can only do it by our faith. The Bible talks a lot about faith. Let's just go to Hebrews 11 where it talks a whole lot about faith. Where am I at? Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If we do not rely on faith and our faith in God, none of this works. Everything goes in order. None of these things work without the rest of them. Our faith in God can only be achieved through doing other steps, all the proper steps. You don't just get faith on accident. God created us. God called us. God knew us before the foundation of the earth. God puts us in positions and places to learn. He puts us in life situations to learn. He puts us where he knows that we need to be so that we can learn the things that we need to learn so that we can acquire the faith to depend on him. Because he knows without him, we are nothing. So he does the hard part. He puts us where we have to be, but then we have to get the faith. We have to obtain the faith. We have to pray for it. Do all that. We have to pay our tithes so that we can acquire that type of faith. We have to pray so we can watch our prayers be answered and prayers be not answered, because we all know how much faith it takes to have your prayers not answered. We have to pray. We have to do all the things necessary. We have to live the life that God puts before us. Faithfully live it. I have my job for a reason. I'm learning lessons at my job every single day that are getting me closer to God's kingdom. Do you know how I know that? Because God is not going to waste my time. There is no time to waste. So I'm going to work every single day to make money for my family, learn how to build a house, but I'm doing it so that I can learn the lessons that I need to learn so that I can be one of God's children and be in his kingdom. It is that simple. David and Goliath is a story that everyone knows. David was put in a position to learn certain lessons so that he would be able to do the things that he needed to do to eventually be in God's kingdom. And along the way, lots of things happen. But we're talking about faith right now. So David had some faith, people. He knew that he didn't need Saul's armor. It didn't fit him. It wasn't comfortable. Get rid of that. I don't need that. All I need is the same things I had on when God allowed me to slay lions and bears and whatever else to protect my father's sheep. I didn't need your armor then. I don't need your armor now. He took his sling, he took his staff, and he took a little bag, and he went off, and he strolled along the side of a little stream. And if you picture it in your mind, you can almost hear the calmness. How water, when it's going in the stream, you hear the trickling, it calms you down. As he's praying to God, as he's picking 5 stones, put in his bag, he's fixing to go fight the biggest, ugliest, meanest guy that any of us have ever seen. And he wasn't worried about it. Because he had faith. That's the kind of faith we have to have. He had the faith because if you read the story, I got stuck reading it yesterday and today just because I wound up reading the whole story because it's just awesome when you think about. If I was just going to write this message again, I would probably just go back and forth from David to Ephesians, David to Ephesians to the story of David because he knew that God was there for him. He knew that he had nothing to worry about, but he knew the steps. He knew the truth about God. He knew who God was. And he knew that he was there to remind the world that God was going to show the world through David what his power. Not David's power, God's power. David says that. Put him in the place when he was a boy to learn the lessons so that he could conquer Goliath, so that the whole world could see that there was a real God. Through the faith of David. And you know the rest of the story, he did it. And then, did a lot of stuff after that. Let's go back to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, first part of verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. The part that covers your skull, your brain. The most important thing that we have going on to keep us alive and to keep us doing what we need to do. The helmet of salvation. The most important thing in our life is our salvation. Our ability to be one of God's children is the most important thing in our lives. Nothing else can come before it. When you're driving down the freeway and you see those silly signs, are you ready to meet God? If you think to yourself for 1 second, I'm not sure. Brethren, you better go figure it out. You better make sure that helmet is on. You better make sure that you believe that you have salvation. It's the most important thing. It's the reason we're here. God wants a family only through salvation. Can that even happen? Let's turn to Psalms 37, please. Psalms 37, verse 37. Psalms 37, 37. Mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace, but the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. All the steps go together so that we can have salvation. God wants us in his family. Brethren, if for 1 minute anybody in this room ever doubts your own salvation, fix it. Check it out. I mean, get on, fix it. We have to know that we know what we know. And we have got to know that we're God's people, we're God's children, and we are going to be in His kingdom, and then we're going to live forever with Him, doing who knows what, because it's going to be a lot. Forever's a long time. Only through salvation. Without salvation, you're not there. You're a puff of smoke, if that. At best, a puff of smoke. And then it's over, never to be remembered again. That's pretty crazy. Salvation. The helmet of salvation. Back to Ephesians 6. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The end of Ephesians 6, verse 17. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Let's go to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The sword is the word, the Bible, the book, the truth, this right here. I can't pick it up because my Bible's falling apart and I'll have pages everywhere. Without the sword, without the word, anything can be made to sound good. Homosexuality. That's just mankind accepting and loving everybody as God created them, right? No, it's an abomination. Killing an unborn child is a woman's right to choose. It's her body after all. No, it's murder. When I say anything, I mean anything. Without the book, you can make an argument for anything. The Bible says that the world's what's good is gonna be called bad and what's bad is gonna be called good, and brethren, we're there for sure. I mean, it's been forever. Forever. Ever since human beings have been here, we've been doing the same thing. But without the word, we can be deceived. If we do not have the word the sword to stab through the false and the truth and separate them, then we could be deceived. Any time that someone uses the Bible to prove something that's not true, we have got to be on top of it. And we don't have to tell them. We don't have to fix their lives, but we can't let ourselves be deceived. If something doesn't sound right that we hear, whoa, wait a minute. Grab your Bible and check it. Get the sword and divide it. Stab through it and divide it. Get the truth and the junk and separate them. That's why it's called the sword. Because it cuts through it and separates it. It gets rid of it. Without the Bible, the world can make anything sound good. Never forget that. Never. We cannot allow ourselves to be far enough away from the Bible where, you know, you have those moments where people ask you a question and you're like, and you're not sure. Okay. None of us know everything, but we know where to find it. If we're staying close to the Bible, if we're staying close to the word, close to the sword, we're going to be able to find it pretty quick. I think everybody in here probably can. But if you can't, that's a signal. That's a signal. If it's not there, it has to feel wrong. If you reach for knowledge, for the truth, if you reach for the helmet of salvation, if you reach for any of these things that we're talking about, if you reach for it and it's not there, that's a problem. I I'm going to conclude by telling a little story about myself. It's not really a story. It's just about my day. I'm a carpenter by trade. And right now I do a lot of supervisor stuff, but I love carpentry work. So I have my old tool bag. I mean, old. It's tore up and old, but I've had the same one for 10 years. So every day when I get to the opportunity to put on my tool bag, when I can put all this stuff and I actually get to go do some real carpentry work, I get my tool belt. I hold it in my hand. I already have my 35-foot tape on my hip because it's always in the front seat of my truck. When I get out of my truck, I take it off and I put it on the front seat. When I get back in my truck, I put it right back on my pants. That's why all my pants, the pockets all messed up. The pocket on this side is messed up from my tape. The pocket on this side is messed up from my Allen wrenches. Other guys, they have skull cans in the back. Not me. I have those other two telltale signs of my occupation. Take my tape. I put it in the front pocket of my right bag. I take my iPhone and I flip it around and I stick it on the top pocket of my right bag and I put it on. I gird myself with my tool bag. In my tool bag has my 35-foot tape in the front pocket. Just to the left side of that is a pocket that has my box knife and my old chisel, the chisel that I use for doing random stuff that I beat up all the time. Right in front of that, there's two little holes. I got my screwdriver in one and my nail punch in the other one. Around the other side of that bag, I have my side cutters, which is a little, they're like wire cutters, but they're little small ones. I use them for all kinds of stuff. You work your way up, I have hand drives, big hand drives, in the pouch right above my tape. And right above that, I have finished hand drives. And right above that, there's a little small pocket where my iPhone's at. I have a rag, you know, a white rag. On the other side, I have my speed square. I have the stupid little black bar that I use for all kinds of stuff. And another rag and a beading block, which if you're doing trim work, you don't want to tear up the wood. And you need to hit it. You take a beading block and you put it on there and you hit it so that you don't get hammer marks on the wood. That's where my stuff is. My hammer, my right bag, I wear it right about at the same spot where my right pocket is. Because I like my hammer holder to be right on top of my wallet. So it's just right there. It's right there. So I'm set to go. Everything is right in its place. Brethren, if I'm on top of a building, 30 feet in the air, on top of a shaky old scaffold, with an 8-foot ladder on top of that, and I'm climbed to the top of that, leaning on 1 foot over to the edge of a gable to put on a piece of trim, and I reach back and my hammer is not in my hammer holder. Whoa, 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 whoa. Come on down. Hey, where's my hammer? Whoever's on the ground. Hey, somebody find my hammer. I'll borrow somebody else's hammer for a minute because time is money in construction and I'll do whatever. Then I'll give them their hammer back and I'm getting my hammer. If I reach to my front of my pouch and my 35-foot tape is not in the right spot, whoa, 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 where's my tape? Where's my tape? If I reach up to my hat and there's not a pencil right there, when I'm talking to you guys here and I need something to write with, I'm going like, you probably see me go like that. Cause I'm reaching, but I don't have my hat on, so my pencil's not there. So if it's not there, you notice it and it freaks me out. All of you ladies have, you know your purse like the back of your hand. I know you do. There's stuff in there that we men do not even want to know about. But you know exactly where it is. You can build a small city with what you have in there. And you know exactly where everything is because it's where it's supposed to be. And if it's not there, you notice it. When you reach to your back pocket at the gas station to pull out your credit card, to fill up your car, if your wallet's not in your pocket, everybody in this building goes into a gyration. There's no way that you reach to your back pocket and your wallet's not there and you don't freak out. Brethren, that's what it has to be like. We have to get dressed for success with the armor of God. Let's go back to Ephesians 6 one last time. Before we leave the sanctuary of our bedroom every day and go out into the world where Satan is roaming around like a lion trying to destroy us, we have to make sure that we have on clean underwear, and we have to make sure that we take up the whole armor of God, that we may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Check. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Check. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Check. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Check. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Check. Check.